Hello and welcome back to the Parallax Perspectives podcast with your host, Daniel Lawson. This is the place where we're having the conversations that I believe, at least, we're not having enough of in this world to create and shape and expand further perspectives, to see the opportunities and choices that we have available and ultimately change the actions, improve the actions, to step into becoming the best version of ourselves, the person that we're born to be, and to shape the reality and the life that we can truly fall in love with. So in this next episode, it's slightly different to all the other episodes that I've uploaded and we've created here. It's an interview with my good buddy here, Mike Inspire, who I met in the Medellin entrepreneurial community. He's someone that's inspired me so much. And during this time of me reshaping my business and dialing in the pains and the desires of my avatar and the next evolution of where it is that I'm taking my business, I wanted to reach out to people like Mike and other people in the highly successful entrepreneurial community to find out what it is that makes them tick. And so he was like, of course, man, you don't even need to ask. Just assume yes, and I'm going to come and help you out. He's such a good, genuine dude. So what you'll notice in this episode is it's an interview. I've got some scripted questions, very clunky, basically something that ChatGPT helped me script. And I'm sitting there asking questions that have been put in there to help pull out the true pains, inner desires, the hidden pains and some of the fears and, you know, that we all have. And I open up the conversation with Mike. It's not on the recording, saying, Mike, this is totally confidential. I'm not going to share it with anyone. It's just for you and I, if you'd like a recording. And really, I'm just going to use it to help me position my marketing and copy for my new avatar. He's like, yeah, absolutely, man, of course. So we jump in and you'll hear the audio is not great. And yeah, my questioning's pretty off. But I was so inspired by this conversation. At the end of it, I was like, Mike, dude, you're such an inspiration. So many people would love to hear this conversation. And so I trust that you'll really love it. I trust that you appreciate the rawness of it, the vulnerability of it. And Mike just sharing what he stands for. He's someone that's stepping into getting out of a super successful, like, financial consulting world and moving into a place of creating his own legacy. And that's the theme of this conversation and him stepping into who it is that he's born to be. So please, with much appreciation, respect for this conversation, dive in, enjoy it. And I hope and I trust that it will inspire you, Mike Inspire, to bring the inspiration here, and you'll really love it. So without further ado.
So I have a son. Usually when I'm with my son and we go hiking, do some outdoor experiment, I'm going to give you a recent example that I could think of. We went to Salto del Ángel, which is the waterfall above Chorro de Campanas. And it's a little more difficult of a trek. It requires a lot more grit and all points of contact, because you could slip and a lady fell and actually died, what, 2 months ago? Actually, when we were there, we were there. And just being able to see that my son looks up to me for advice, asks me questions, relies on my knowledge or ability to like react, and just having me around, he puts himself in a sense of I'm okay because he's here, gives me a sense of empowerment where I myself feel more empowered at the same time. So it makes me want to do it more, because I have somebody that's somebody to look out for that's also telling me thank you for looking out for them. So I relate that to other friendships, and I have friends here locally that ask me questions related to their current business or their current struggles, whether it be personal, financial, relationship, business, whatsoever. And when I answer their question in a way that I use certain analogies that they instantly understand and capture, they'll call me back the next day like, bro, like, thank you. Like, you gave me the perfect answer that made so much sense. I spoke to five other people and I just couldn't grasp it. And you said that one thing and it completely made me realize it. Those are moments where I feel energy flowing through my light bulb of a head. And so definitely feel empowered, definitely feel like I have a point. Yeah. You know? So those are certain moments there. And then personally, not connected to humans or anybody else, but when I'm doing something that's pushing myself to the next limit, you know, working out, hitting the gym, doing something physical is usually really connected to that. Going outdoors and doing some cool stuff, you know, yeah. Those things are personally empowering for me. And results from resilience helps me a lot. Whenever you stick through to something that's breaking you down the way it would break anybody down, and then you just stick through and end up seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and reaching it. Yeah, that's pretty much some of the things I could think of right now.
That's awesome. I really love that, that first point. If we could distill that down a little further, let me know if this resonates. What I was hearing is it's like that the healthy significance or the importance that comes from having like a responsibility to take care of someone else, and the significance that comes from that.
Yeah. So me, I think
leadership is actually what's coming up in my mind.
Yeah. In order for you to be a leader, you have to have, I don't want to use the term follower, but somebody to lead.
Yeah.
I don't consider people followers. I consider people, my goal is to make you better than me. And I want my knowledge, my education, my past, and my history to give you the support and bridge to help you jump ahead of me in that certain field. So when I don't have my son or access to my son around me, I don't feel fulfilled. I don't feel like I have a purpose. I get bored and frustrated, and no amount of money could make me happy. No parties, no friends, nothing. Because at the end of the day, I'm not serving what my calling is. My calling is to be a father figure.
Yeah.
So when I got my dog... And it re-engaged that feeling of having my son, because my dog's always looking at what I'm doing, what's the next move, just so he could replicate it.
Yeah.
I literally have my son, he's another son of mine, but it gives me that sense of, oh, I have somebody learning from me consistently. Even when I'm not paying attention, they're still learning from me. How I respond, how I react, when I'm upset, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, like, where's my focus? How do I cross the street? These are things that I believe most men should eventually reach a point in their life where they have to start realizing that every step they take forward is to create a path for someone behind them.
Yeah.
So for me, that's definitely the highest form of empowering. Yeah. Leadership,
that's awesome, yeah.
Legacy.
Do you think that also crosses over? You talk about the impact that you make for your son or for your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that crosses over into a community that you could build, or like for people in the community that didn't have a father figure or that need a positive role model or a model of excellence, a male figure in their life?
Yeah, for sure. So my father was in prison for 22 years of my life. Pretty much from the age of 6 to 20 something is when he came out. But what made me realize is that my father didn't have to physically be around in the physical realm to be a father and be respected. There was a couple key points. My mother never disrespected him. Not one bad word came out of her mouth the whole time he was never in the house. Every single day at 5 p.m., no matter what, he would call and be on the phone with me. Always supportive, always wanted to call, even if it was annoying, silly questions like, oh, you got a girlfriend yet? At the age of 13. But I'll forever recall his voice. So reflecting on that, he always wanted to be a father. It's just his situation didn't allow him to physically be, but that didn't stop him from still being.
Yeah.
So relating that to building a community today online or in the physical space, I prefer the physical space, yes, and I'm more engaged. But I'm starting to realize that was a version of a digital community. It was a version of a digital father that today I have more tools than he did. All he had was a phone with no video, none of that stuff, you know? Back then it was just home phone. There was no cell phones back then. So I'm like, all right, well, let's use these powerful tools and connect with people in a digital realm and still kind of give that same effect. Because there's some, I grew up with a lot of friends without fathers, a lot of friends that had fathers in prison, but their fathers didn't know how to be fathers because their fathers didn't teach them how to be the fathers. And it's all a link of how the legacy was passed through. And it's like, if you're a deadbeat dad and you never had a deadbeat and you never had a father because your father disappeared and you never cared to learn how to be a father, then you're going to raise your kids to be just as messed up. And the cycle continues until you break the cycle. So I decided to not break the cycle, but repair the need for any negativity in the cycle.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, man. I resonate with that strongly. I'm part of that group. Maybe not in such a harsh way, but certainly feeling like I didn't have that positive male role model. So I really feel it.
You didn't grow up with your father?
No, well, just not present. Yeah. So are you able to describe a moment of peace and contentment in your life? If you really just consider where and when you really feel that peace and contentment.
Yeah.
What are you doing and who is it that you're with?
So environment to me means two things, internal and external. I'm at peace when my internal and external are not thinking of how to take care of something or not worrying about how to fix something or how to solve something. The times that I feel that is when I'm eating correctly, working out correctly, I'm around my purpose-driven individuals in the environment where I thrive the most. So here in Medellin, Colombia, to me, is what I call the motherland because my whole background's from here.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, it's my perfect climate. My skin feels great. My body feels energized. My mood is always happy based on just the surroundings. When I'm in my house with my son, my dog, and my girl, I'm just able to, like, my mind just stops. I don't have to think.
Yeah.
I just absorb.
Yeah, nice.
And that, to me, is definitely one of the moments of peace. And I credit it a lot to having a female that understands the proper reason for a relationship is not to cause stress either. So my girlfriend definitely, I think we've had like 3 arguments in 2 years, man. It's like,
yeah.
It's insane to me.
It definitely creates a lot more peace.
Yeah. So being home, the word home to me is that. It's like anything could be home. Home doesn't have to be where you grew up. Home could be what you make it. You know, I could be in a hotel room in Connecticut at 3 a.m. And if my son is there, my dog's there, my girl's there, and I feel home.
If you distilled all these experiences that you just described then down into values, how do these experiences align with your values?
I've never taken the time to think that. Like, how do they align with my values? What would be some forms of values, for
example?
There's
a few that stood out to me when I was hearing it. First was your health,
mm-hmm.
You're eating right, you're exercising right.
Okay.
That experience, you feel a sense of peace and also it sounds like, well, that contentment, but also connection with your body.
Yeah.
So connection, health,
yeah,
values around relationships.
I started to write down certain things that like would be bullet points to bring up in forming a community, the types of things I would want to, I guess, like chapters, you know, like modules.
Well, but before going there and just being present with now,
does that
resonate with you, whether it's health, relationships, connection?
Yeah. I think it starts with foundation. So the way I see it is, I had a conversation with my buddy Ryan, and I said, look, I want to build this form of community and this form of new age school. And what I really want to focus on is not just helping 20 random individuals that pay me to show up. No, my focus is when my son turns 18 and he's able to leave his mother's control and move in with me, what is step 0 to step 10 of me making him the son I would have made him if he did grow up with me? Step 0 is going to be destroy to rebuild, meaning all those teachings, everything that was embedded into your brain, all the information that you were downloaded with, all that shit is trash. Right? I need to completely rewire your brain, completely rewire your soul, reawaken your soul, reignite your fire. I gotta, whether it takes spiritual medication or whether it takes certain situations to make them come out of you naturally, it's literally reconnecting with your true foundation so that from the foundation up we start building. So foundational is very important to me, your foundation. Then it's your physical and internal environment, meaning your internal, how you're eating, your blood type, the way you're seeing food. To me, food isn't just something you eat. It's whatever you're consuming, whatever stuff you're following on Instagram, whatever books you're reading, whatever shit you're listening to in music. The words that you're feeding your brain with are just as important as the apple you're eating. So internal environment, and then go into the external environment.
So is that wisdom? So it sounds like connection, wisdom.
Yeah. External environment has to do with how you're physically moving, how you're connected to your body, what are you paying attention to, what are your sore points, what are your weak points, what are your strong points, what are you naturally good at, and how to enhance
physical
that.
Health.
So physical health is definitely important. And then from there is just build, right? Once the erase the bad, rebuild the foundation, enhance the good, and then just elevate, right? So it's like new knowledge, new information, how you're going to generate income, because income to me is a tool. It's not more about money. It's just once you're, and then how you ignite your personal passion.
Creating value.
Yeah.
Personal service. Awesome, man. When you connect with these values and you look at these experiences, look at these as experiences and how they reflect in the other areas of your life, do you see areas in your life where they haven't been ignited, or you haven't developed them fully, or you need to connect with them even more?
I think there was a lot of areas in my life where the majority of the lessons I would want to give my son are lessons that I myself had to go through. So I would think I've pretty much taken the time to rebuild myself 99%. And I don't ever want to be at 100%.
Yeah.
I think true perfection comes in being imperfect and remaining imperfect, because that means I'm always seeking more. Mm-hmm. I always want to do better. And there should always be something I need to learn. There should always be something I need to fix. There should always be something I need to work out, or else what the hell am I living for? Mm-hmm. The point of life is to keep going. So certain things that I might be lacking at this moment, per se, I think I'm pretty much working on those. It's to me, it was more financial.
Well, those experiences of the values around the connection and the relationships, and going back to that peace and contentment within you, and having that experience of everything that you discuss when you create that. Do you feel like you could bring some of those across, bridge them into other areas of your life, whether it's in friendships more, or into intimate relationship more, into business more, or into your own spirituality more?
Yeah, I mean, they all connect, of course. They're all key points that, having a conversation with somebody that's like, oh, I can't find the right girlfriend. I'm like, that's because you're not the right boyfriend. Hmm. And then they look at me confused. I said, you're not going to find the wife until you're the perfect husband. You're only going to, like a magnet, attract the perfect wife. But if you're in the polar opposite, you're just going to push away the right thing. But everything works that way. It's not just a wife. It's life itself. If you're not attracting money, if you're not attracting friendships, if you're not attracting the right things to happen for you, you're yourself needing to heal certain things about you. I think everything... If anybody's lacking in a certain thing, they have to not think about what they're lacking, but what's wrong inside of them.
Yeah. Do you have any comments around, or inclinations or pieces of awareness that you'd be open to sharing about yourself?
All of them. Everything I'm speaking about is certain things that I discovered within myself. I'm not perfect. I'm currently dealing with what is my next step, and making sure that my next step is my biggest and most connected to me step.
Nice.
I think I'm very fucking there. Just today.
It's like the big boss to get you, and then after that you got the next level.
Yeah. And then a new level of problems, but they're fun now because it's the beginning of a new world, right?
Yeah.
So 3 days ago I was frustrated with my trades and the people I was working with, and I decided to quit working at a startup I was helping out with for the past 4 weeks. Everything was great. The guys were cool. But I would come home exhausted, and I haven't felt that ever because I've never had a job.
Yeah.
I did have a job when I was younger, but I haven't had a job in 20 years. When I realized I could generate for myself better than anybody can generate for me. And I would come home exhausted, not feeling like doing anything. Like, my mood wasn't right. My girl would tell me, like, babe, I don't like seeing you like this. You're like consistently questioning everything, and you're the type of person just like what you say goes, and you're always right about what you say. Like, this isn't you. And after 4 weeks, I was like, you know what? The reason the wrong thing here is that I'm fulfilling someone else's purpose, not mine. So I called the landowner 6 hours away for 35 hectares, which is 350,000 square meters, the top of a volcano. And I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I wanted to buy you a piece of land. Is it still possible? He's like, well, you're like the second person to talk to me in 6 months. So yeah, I'm up for something. I was like, all right, how much? He gave me the price. I said, all right. So I don't have the money right then and there. I hang up the phone. I was like, I'm gonna just buy that fucking land. Because at the end of the day, if everything crashes, if Bitcoin goes to zero, if all my trades go to zero, if my girlfriend leaves me, if I don't have access to my son, and all this shit goes to zero, I'll have the ability to restart the new world I envision if I'm at least in my land. Nice. So I was like, so yeah, I ended up telling him I'm gonna fly over there probably tomorrow and put a deposit and put it all in legal documentation.
Nice.
The reason for it is I want to build out.
Oh, hang on. Can I ask you the next question?
Yeah,
work into it. Is that when you're looking forward, how do you want to be remembered? What values and accomplishments do you want your legacy to really truly reflect?
Yeah, I think I want to stay true to the word inspiration and inspire, right? So a buddy of mine a while back, he was like a theologist, and he said, oh, you shouldn't use the word inspire. I was like, why? He's like, because there's only one that could inspire you. I was like, explain it. He said, only God could inspire, because inspire means breathe new life into. It means inspiratus. And I said, well, technically, I'm actually going to continue to use the word inspire, because my last name is Alzate, which in Spanish is pick yourself back up. / as a consultant, I'm coming into a failing business, seeing what's wrong, and giving you a new breath of energy to become what's right. So if anything, you just told me why I should keep using that word.
So what is your vision?
So the vision is...
What's the legacy that you'll be leaving?
The legacy and the vision is to make sure I leave everybody better than I met them and whatever they might need. As far as the creating... Making my son see me as his Superman forever. And in a fun way, saying like, everybody's my son.
Also, I was gonna say, go beyond just your son.
Everybody is my son, and I want to be the right father influence to all those that would like it.
Yeah,
you know, and so I definitely,
how would they remember you? How would they describe you after you're gone?
I wouldn't know. I would have to ask some of them.
I would definitely like them to see
me like that amazing big brother figure, helpful, engaged, always there. Father figure, big brother figure, knowledgeable, wisdom, savvy, more like
a demonstration.
Like coaching, like a demonstration?
Yeah, demonstration of excellence.
Okay.
Demonstration of change.
Yeah, I guess it would be just like all the lessons they would need they found in me. And I kind of want to be the a living encyclopedia for that person seeking an answer.
What are the gaps or the discrepancies that exist between your vision and your current reality? Your current reality right now and the legacy that you're going to be leaving?
Getting out of my own head. Mm-hmm. I think what I realized is, it's funny, but I already had all the tools needed last year to make what I want to make happen now available. I just didn't see it because I was so focused on living, just surviving, just like, or ego, or what society puts in your head, right? And it's like, I'll give you an example. This isn't the number, but just to say, a piece of land is worth $350,000. I have $400,000 in an account. And I don't buy it based on thinking, but what if, or I should take this 400 and make 800 and then buy it, or, but let me take care of a couple things here first, or let me see if I even have a community, or you'll go into this fucking dark hole of thoughts And the minute you have one thought, you just open up the doorway for 100 new ones. And those don't stop, especially as you keep living in the city and especially as you keep surviving. The thoughts just pile up over and over and over. A year passes, that account went from 400K to 100K. So now all you did was just burn through it. It's like your fuel, you just consume fuel. As we exist, we're just consuming without even trying to consume. And now it's like, all right, well, I could have just fucking bought it last year and built what I wanted to build. Yeah. But
so is that overthinking?
I think overthinking was definitely a big struggle. Yeah. Thinking, yeah, overthinking is definitely too much in my head, right? I don't know if it's from too many living examples, or I accredit it to being older and having gone through so many situations that now I'm like, I see 100 blockages before the success. So I'm very careful moving forward. But the times I succeed the most is when I'm not careful at all. And it's like, when you just fucking jump. You know, that whole silly thing, like you'll see it on Instagram, you'll see it on memes. It's like an entrepreneur jumps and then builds the wings on the way down. That's that really great, applies great to cliche. Life. Yeah.
Is it stepping into the uncertainty?
Yeah, being uncertain is awesome,
say
man.
Saying yes and figuring yeah. it out.
Yeah, you help bring that a lot with making me get up on stage, talking about the community. Ever since I met you, you were just like, bro, just fucking do it. You have it already. But it's funny because until you speak to somebody that sees you, Spencer brought up another good point. The people around us lately, man, that's another reason why I'm like, your community is true. It already exists around me. And these are the same brothers that I want showing up there. Because I'll have a conversation with Spencer, I'll have a conversation with you, I'll have a conversation with Andres, and one sentence will stick to our brains from each other. And he says, you can't read the label from the inside of the bottle, right?
I've seen it. I've had three conversations since Thursday on that.
Yeah.
Rolled up that many times.
And so when me and him had that conversation, I was like, yeah, it's true. But man, when me and you sat down at the event, and you started asking me questions like, well, you already do that. Like, I'm talking to you and you're saying all the things you want to be saying to them. So you're already doing what you say you're doing. Yeah. You just don't realize it. And it's kind of true, right?
So can I ask you, are you taking action steps to bridge these gaps and discrepancies? And do you have concerns about the actions or the inactions that you are or not taking?
I don't think I've been taking action as thorough as I should have been. It started last week. And it started with the igniter, which was, fuck this. I don't want to work with other people. I don't do well building something that I don't care for. It's just financially driven. It's not my model. So when I quit, I had 3 days to think. And then I was like, all right, let me do something drastic that's focused on what I want to achieve. And that's when I made the phone call to the homeowner. And at that moment, I was like, now I have a reason to build a community. Now I have a reason to share things online. Now I have a reason to speak on the microphone. Now I have a reason to connect with everybody. Because if I don't do all of those, then I'm gonna have an empty land. And as beautiful as that is, and it is gonna be my home, the purpose wasn't for it to be empty. The purpose was for it to be everybody's home. Like,
any concerns, worries, hesitations in regards to making this decision now? And as you move forward?
No.
Fears?
No, they all went away when I said, fuck this.
Nice.
Yeah, now I'm just full throttle.
Isn't that cool how the courage, like, that, what is it? The courage turns up when you take the step.
Yeah.
You can't wait for courage to arrive.
Yeah, I mean, something as simple as getting up on stage and speaking about something I prepared 4 minutes before. Yeah. I literally wrote down like 20 bullet points and I didn't look at them once because I didn't need to because the conversation was so fresh in my head. Right afterwards, four random guys talking to me about this blood type diet stuff and how they were eating incorrectly. And the next Thursday, still bringing up these conversations, a girl telling me how she was a vegan and she found out she's all positive. She couldn't understand why she kept having these skin diseases. And she switched up her food into a more Mediterranean and less vegan style. And she feels better and she's working out healthier. And just those are the types of things that make you realize that, bro, like, by not stepping on stage and sharing a little piece of information, I'm actually stopping people from living their best life. And that's not what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be doing the opposite of that. So I'm being selfish and greedy and holding this information in. And that's not me.
I love that, man. Such a good message. How do you define success? Both, and if it's the same or different, but both from a professional and personal standpoint, if you can give examples, how you pursued this definition in your life.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with a couple of people. Some people ask me, what's the difference between rich and success or rich and wealthy? And wealth to me is all pillars of you as a foundation being held up properly. To me, money is a tool, which is one source of holding you up, but it's not what holds everything up. To me, true success is achieving a life you're consistently smiling internally in. You don't have to be smiling externally, but you have to wake up wanting to wake up. You have to attend wanting to attend. You have to engage wanting to engage. The minute you're doing something you don't want to be doing, you didn't reach the life you wanted to reach. But if you're consistently pushing yourself or happy or around the right people or in the right place with the right community or moving in the way you want to be moving physically, eating the stuff you want to be eating, you reach success. If you're happy in all levels, you reach true success. Success isn't measured by what car you drive or what house you live in. It's how happy are you to want to wake up. When you're depressed, you want to sleep more because the less you're awake, the less you feel.
Yeah.
When you're happy, you don't want to fucking sleep. It's like, why do I got to go to sleep? This is amazing. Why am I letting it go?
Yeah.
So true success is having that feeling of an 8-year-old again playing Nintendo. You know?
Can you give examples of how you pursued this definition in your life to create that for yourself?
It started by removing what was hurting my soul first. First, it was understanding, why am I not happy? What is actually hurting my soul? What are the things around me right now that are rubbing me the wrong way? Understanding them to then be able to remove them. So it's sort of like Alcoholics Anonymous, for example. The first thing would be understanding you're an alcoholic. It's like, if you don't admit to yourself, I drink alcohol every day, 7 times a day, you're never going to understand what the first problem is. So for me, it was, I've never liked Florida. I don't like the heat. I don't like the humidity. I don't like the sunburn in the top of my head every day. So the minute I completely understood that and got myself out of it and put myself in an environment that I was happier in, it's like 50% of the weight got dropped off just by moving. So that's one thing. And when I have conversations with people, it's like their girlfriend, their boyfriend, their father, their mother, unfortunately, you know, but that's some reality. Your mother could be a negative connection to you, or you have a negative relationship with your mother to the point where you wake up or go to sleep a little unhappy every time you hang up the phone with them. For me, I love my mother and she did her best, but there's certain times where I have conversations with her where I'm just like, So what did I do? I'll speak to her less. You know, I love her, I respect her, I thank her, but our connection is not consistent all the time like it used to be, because I realized I run faster and happier and lighter without her thought process around me.
So good, man. I love this. I love it. I was just reflecting on that point. I love it. Can you tell me a significant challenge or setback that you've experienced, and how did you respond? What did the experience teach you about yourself?
significant challenges I've had recently and how I responded?
Yeah. It could be a challenge, a setback, a failure, however you want to envision it in the current version of yourself. And it could be big or small, but something that it's...
I don't know. I think for the last 5 years, I've pretty much been consistently nurturing myself the right way. But every once in a while, something has to happen for you to be able to, like, test yourself.
Yeah.
Think of physical right now is what I could think of right now. When I was 2014, I was doing 2 cycles of steroids. I was working out. I was training for the Europa competition in Orlando, Florida. I got up to almost 235 pounds. It was the biggest I've ever been. I was working out with top bodybuilders, amazing individuals who we lived in the gym. I mean, I would wake up to go to the gym, leave the gym, go home, work, make money, come back to the gym just to get back in the gym and work out some more. Working out twice a day, 6 days a week. Eating like crazy. I felt amazing, man. I felt fucking amazing. Like, I have nothing negative to say about the proper form of taking steroids. But what I do have to say is that was one of the few points I got smacked in the face with reality, because I never had a coach. I never had a trainer. I had buddies of mine that would work out with me, but not a professional that tells me, this is how you should place your shoulder. This is how you should tighten your core. This is how the proper foot placement on the floor should be. This is how your body's foundation needs to move when pushing that weight this way. Nobody did that for me, or I didn't seek anybody like that. And over time, you're pushing your body past this limit, past this limit, past this limit. 2 years, you hit a plateau. That was me. I went 2 years clean, just GNC and Vitamin Shoppe products. Then I hit a plateau where 90 days went by and I was working out like crazy and nothing changed. My numbers weren't going up, my size wasn't going up, nothing. So then I decided to take tests and enhance it a little more. And I finally started reaching like, wow, bigger, awesome points. But because of improper training, I'm working out one time on the squat bench. I had four plates on each side, and randomly I just hear something snap, like crack, in the middle lumbar back section of my body, and my whole body just collapses. And I'm on the floor, and all I see is white lights. And then I open my eyes again, and there's six people around me. The manager to the LA Fitness is staring down like, yo, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And he's looking at me saying, bro, you randomly just dropped with the whole weights. Like, it's crazy that you're alive. Are you okay? Can you see everything? And everything's fading away. Like, the whiteness is going away. I'm starting to see better. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Just move out the way. Let me get up. I go to stand up, and I can't. Nothing moves. And I'm just like, what the fuck just happened, bro? I'm lost. I'm a little confused. What ends up happening? I herniated four discs. So from L3, L4, L5, S1. They were already herniated, but I would have never known because I never went to a doctor or anything. So I ended up rupturing two discs, messing up my cervical area, and I already had messed up my rotator cuff. So I had injuries, but because I never went to get checked or I never had a professional guide me or a coach per se, I would have never known. And they were, the minute you discover an injury because you're injured, you completely are late. You know, you don't fix a balding tire when it pops. You're supposed to pay attention to it from balding. Like, it's like, all right, this was a little balder than the rest. We should change it now before it pops. So preventative health was a very, very important key point to learn at that point.
So what did that experience teach you about yourself? You really take away and you
taught me to be open to being coached at that point. That was the first time in my life I realized the importance of somebody that knows more than me in whatever field it may be.
Yeah.
After that, I took the NASM certification. I ended up talking to coaches and this and that. And I realized, I was like, damn, bro, coaches are the shortcuts to life. They literally guide you or help you find, even if you have the answer yourself, talking to the right person will help bring it forward.
Yeah.
So I was like, after that, that was one of the biggest takeaways from it. It was like, if I would have had the proper trainer, understanding foundation of the body itself and movement, I could have avoided all that.
It sounds like it could have been an ego check then.
Yeah, definitely ego, of course. Ego, yeah, because you don't really notice if you have an ego or not, because you're social, you're fun, you hang out with people, you're fucking chicks, this and that, and everybody's like, oh, you're a cool individual. So not once are you like, oh, I have an ego, or you're kind of just living. But that is a form of ego. The blockage of accepting another person from helping you is a form of ego, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, must have been a hard lesson to learn, but what an epic takeaway.
Yeah.
I can see how that must have really changed who it is that you are today because of that.
To this day, I still have the issues. I never actually got surgery or anything. I pretty much just started learning how to consistently. Yeah. Now I don't go as heavy. I understand why the body moves the way it moves now.
In what situations do you feel that you need to wear a mask or alter your behavior or hide your true self?
Never. That happened pre-2015.
Yeah.
After 2015, and it started with me with the first time I did ayahuasca. I did four medicines. It was rapé, sananga, ayahuasca two times, and then finished it off with combo from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
What about holding yourself back on it? Because I'll challenge you now. From the conversations, the wisdom that you have to share, and still not to the degree that you do, that's a form of hiding who you truly are. From the world, at least, maybe a one-on-one.
All right. Well, in that sense, Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Sharing it with the world,
like
you go into that whole social experiment feeling where it's like, but this camera is really like a million people in Instagram seeing me.
Yeah.
And to me, it's funny, man. Like I've tried to look at a camera and just talking. It's not the same as me talking to you.
Okay.
Like I'll do podcast style anything. This yeah. right here, if it's being recorded, I'll be perfectly fine. I'm answering the same exact way because
yeah.
I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to a black mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
The minute you remove human connection from my conversation, I get in my head.
Yeah.
So
you got no one to share it with. You just kind of sharing with you.
Yeah, yeah. And then so that's when I go into like, what am I doing? Who am I talking to? This is just me. Do I look okay? Are they able to hear me? Blah blah blah. That's all those thoughts that easily are erased the minute you're just talking to people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I guess I am. I wouldn't call it a mask, but a wall. Yeah. As far as like me wearing a mask, I don't do that.
How does this? How do these situations affect your sense of authenticity or self-expression?
How do the situations make me feel authentic?
Affect your sense of authenticity or self-expression, whether it's on camera or in groups of audience or people that you haven't got a feeling if they're going to validate that or it's going to be total off the radar, or you know, these deep topics that you love to share. Does it affect your sense of self-expression or your authenticity?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm comprehending the whole question itself. By not sharing, has it affected me being authentic or considering myself authentic?
Do you feel like there is a part of you that you're holding back or that you would like to further express or allow out more freely and more openly to get your message out to more people or a wider audience or the depth of the conversation?
Yeah, I never thought of it, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course, it goes back to the whole like, it's greedy and selfish to not share the little bit that could help someone else.
Yeah. What about when you're sitting in front of the camera? Because ultimately, when we get in our own heads and hold back or feel uncomfortable, it's a feeling of insecurity or a fear or
mm-hmm.
not feeling safe or whatever it is. What do you feel like it would take to feel safe and authentic in that situation?
I guess I go into what I see in the reflection side of the phone. Like how do I see myself on the reflection? What would it take to make myself?
So is that a judgment?
Yeah, I judge myself. Yeah, yeah, judgment, yeah.
So
I look at myself, I have a crooked jaw, my hair is gone. I look at certain things, I'm like, bro, I didn't look like this just 6 years ago. You know, like certain things that I'm just like, and it makes me think like, am I supposed to look a certain way? Am I supposed to fix these things first? And that's preventing me from like being able to like calm.
So what you need is acceptance.
Yeah, right.
Self-acceptance.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
What about a self-trust? You've got this. Trust
yeah.
And it doesn't matter how crooked your fucking jaw is.
I think that comes more with consistency, right? Just like speaking on stage. After doing it the first time, I was like, damn, I kind of want to do this shit every week.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, yeah, it becomes exciting, like a good thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that the trusting part would come with consistency.
Yeah.
The reflection of what I see myself or judgment, I kind of just got to let it go with more acceptance.
Yeah.
And
the self-love as well, self-love and acceptance.
Yeah.
Because you know what, your physical features, you wouldn't be who you are today. You wouldn't be the compelling version that you are if you looked any different.
Mm.
And so that's part of you. And also, what you mentioned before is, what is perfection anyway? It's the imperfections.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And people tell me that, but I'm just like, I just want to fix my jaw.
The fucking lazy eye, the crooked jaw,
yeah.
the witch's nose, whatever it is.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. I'm seeing that more and more lately.
And you're seeing yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Here's a really important one, and I think you already know what this is, but I'd love to hear how you articulate it now. Is what the dream is. What is the dream that you're hesitant to voice out loud? And probably in your case, out loud more often, more openly, or have been reluctant to really chase?
I think it takes a while for everybody to find their true calling or purpose, but at the same time, it never did take a while. Because my belief is before we're in a vessel, we're a soul. And the soul already knows its calling.
So what is this for you?
So for me, it was being that amazing father figure, big brother figure, coach type person, or I don't even know if coach is the word to use in that sense, but I'll stick to it for now. And being able to help as many, connect with and engage with for the purpose of helping them become better mm-hmm. with as many people as possible before I go.
Every time you talk about it, it lights me up, man. It suits you so well. And I think I asked you this other day, and I can't quite remember what it is, but I wonder what it is now, is what are the obstacles or fears that are holding you back?
Right now, none. It's just hitting up all the people I want involved, seeing if they want to chip in, help acquire and build the property.
So what is it being that? Why hasn't it already happened?
Well, I started 3 days ago.
Good. Well,
first, I don't ask anybody to take a jump unless I jump first. Yeah, nice. So first it was like, let me liquidate some of my crypto, even at the bottoms, because crypto tanked that day 10%. I don't know why. But I was like, fuck it. I don't care where crypto's at. I care more about what I'm building.
Nice. So you've already started taking the
steps? Yeah, I liquidated like almost 50K worth of crypto at bottoms, which you don't do. That's not smart money management. But I didn't care because I was like, I've been holding on to this crypto since 2015. The only reason I even had crypto was for this perfect future for my son. And I'm not buying the future for my son because I'm holding crypto.
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid. Yeah. I was like, I don't care about the crypto. I care about what I was supposed to acquire with it. So I take the dive. I go to lock in the deal. I'll grab the space, put the first down payment, hit up a couple of people, see if they want to get involved. They want to get involved. They got to put some skin in the game just like I did. They're going to be founding members and then just build.
So good, man.
Yeah.
These are the very logistical steps, which I applaud you for, man. That's so amazing to go out and really you know, go all in on these dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What about the more experiential steps, the vulnerable steps, the steps that it really takes to ask people to be part of it, and the really getting people involved and feeling that dream? Like, I feel your dream.
Okay.
And having other people, have you really reached out and been taking action on that?
I'd say the initial 10 people I'd want involved, I've been talking to consistently for the last month.
Awesome. Amazing, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Can I celebrate you for that? I want to acknowledge you. Since we last spoke, that wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't.
Just in the short time frame from since we met until now, it's amazing, man.
It really started that weekend we went climbing. You made me feel like, you already do this, Mike. And
when
I didn't.
Went up to the waterfall.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's
because so you made me see it. And it was like, it's true. I did just organize 14 random strangers to show up on a random Saturday morning to go for a random hike and completely all trusted where I was taking them. And I was like, oh, shit, this is happening without me even thinking about it.
You're already that leader. Whether you want to call it a coach, I think leader suits you really well. I think that the energy of bringing that father figure is awesome, man. There's so many, like including myself, as I mentioned, so many guys out there that don't feel like they've got a really great, like that warmth of having like the king energy father leader in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all three of those, king, father, leader. That is you, man.
That's awesome.
It's so good. I love it.
Dope, man.
Maybe this next question might already tie into it. And so, like this is the mission that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one unfulfilled desire or ambition that keeps coming back up for you?
That. Just building the castle, I guess, right?
That's it.
Yeah, just building the castle and attaching the legacy.
What would it mean to fill the strings? What would it mean for you and for your life?
So, this part scares me.
That's where the gold is.
Somewhat, if you want to call it that, but I almost feel like once I complete that, I'm ready to go.
Mm.
And it scares me because it makes me see myself pass. So to me, it's definitely my final step. So I'm just hoping it kind of lasts long enough for me to go at 75 plus. But it scares me because I'm going to feel like or I hope it becomes a new level where then there's new things to solve.
Or whatever go means, right?
Yeah. But I've saw myself in my last journey on medicine where I was like, I build this, I do this, I help thousands of people, and then I look in the mirror, I'm like, I serve my purpose, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, kind of scared there. So people have asked in the past, are you scared of death? And when I was younger and dumber, I'd say, fuck no, bring it. Today, I'm like, not scared, but I kind of understand it now. When people, both my grandfathers passed in their sleep. It wasn't through a sickness, it wasn't through anything weird, but one of my grandfathers was hurting for like 2 years before he passed. And the other one was so ready to go.
Yeah.
One of them was grumpy, upset, yelling and cursing. The other one was smiling all the time, respected by everybody to this day. He got to see all his grandsons. He had 8 wives, 32 kids. He had 14 pieces of land spread throughout the country. And he's just like, I'm ready, man. I asked him that one specifically. The other one, I didn't get to ask him. But I asked him specifically. I was like, oh, abuelo, now that you're here and, you know, you're ready to go, like, was there anything you regret doing? Was there anything you wish you would have done? And he laughs and he just looks at me. He's like, are you crazy? I have all my nietos here, all my grandsons. I got to see and live with all my family members. Everybody's beautiful. You're amazing. Look at you. You're doing the same thing I used to do when I was your age. I've been everywhere. I've traveled everywhere. Matter of fact, you remind me so much of me when I was your age. I would go from bar to bar in random towns, hit up a nice girl, go to see her family, see her town, and then think about the properties there and buy some real estate there. And we just had this random ass, fun ass conversation where I'm like, I would have never known we connected that much, right? But I saw his happiness, no grudges, light heart, ready to go. He was just ready. He was like, bro, I've been happy my whole life. Why would I be miserable now? So it was another thing that I attached to learning in Egypt when I was in Egypt. There's one of the pharaohs or gods, I forgot his name himself, but he grabs your heart when you die and puts it on the scale against the feather. And if your heart is as light or lighter than the feather, you're ready to go to heaven. If your heart is heavier than the feather, you don't get to go to heaven. And the reason they measure is because if you're holding grudges, if you're holding negativity, if you're holding lies, if you cheated, if you robbed, if you stole, your heart becomes heavier as you carry on that baggage. And I remember then having a conversation with the guy explaining this to me. I was like, I would be lighter than the feather. And he laughs. He's like, ha ha, yeah, you wish. I'm like, no, I'm serious. I literally have absolutely not one thought in my heart that somebody hasn't heard out loud. And I promise to always stay to that.
Nice.
So yeah. So my grandfather reminded me of that when he passed, and I realized he went to heaven, man.
Yeah. Well, man.
Yeah.
Once you fulfill your dream, and you go and create everything that it is that you want, how is it scary to get to there and then you can die happy, fulfilling your purpose?
Yeah.
Because for most people, I think they get to that point in their life and they haven't filled their purpose and they die with their regrets.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fast carrying.
Yeah.
So for you to know exactly where it is that you want to go, what it is that you want to create, well, shit, you got the pathway there.
Yeah.
It's more than what so many people have in this world. I think that's incredible, man.
I guess I want to create it and enjoy it as much as I can.
Yeah.
Before the sun beams down on me and says, you're next.
Get it done. I love it.
All right, bro.
Thank you so much. That's all my questions. Is there anything else that you wanted to add? Like,
nah, do more of these.
You know what I was thinking? This is almost like, I'm going to give you this recording, but I think it'd almost be an epic podcast.
Do it. Don't ask me. Just do it. You have
my full
authorization with everything.
I did say at the beginning, this is totally confidential. And then I go and post it out in the world to hear. But like what you've just shared, man, it's so inspiring. And it's so in alignment to everything that it is that you stand for. And it's just so authentic, sitting in a position like this, having this conversation. So thank you, man, for everything that you shared.
Awesome. I'm happy we did it.